Now let me hear the bass. Welcome, everybody, to the, what is this, the 8th episode? Yeah, I believe this is the 8th episode. The 8th episode of the Bay Area Sports Talk Show podcast. I am your host, Kobe Rodriguez. And for a second there, I totally forgot what I was going to say at the beginning. The reason why I sat there and tried to figure out if this is the 8th podcast. There's been so many the past 2 weeks, I totally forgot to count. I should probably write down my notepad. This is for podcast number or whatever. And just keep it like that. I have it there to remember me, not just be going off the top of my head like, this is podcast number 10. I go back on freaking my website and it's actually podcast number 8. I'm like, well, so there are a couple. It's been a while. It's been since Friday. It's been since Friday since I updated the last podcast. Went over the Sharks and the Warriors, and I predicted that both teams sort of won on Friday. One of them won. I was 1-for-1. I'll give you that. I was 1-for-1. So, so let's go. I have on tap for today's schedule. I have a couple short game preview recaps, along with a Warriors recap and a Warriors preview to today's Sunday matinee matchup against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, you know, we're probably going to talk about a little bit about the A's and the Giants, who started spring training yesterday, Saturday. The A's faced Milwaukee, lost 2-1, wrong team. And Giants won to the Los Angeles Angels 4-1, I believe. So, we'll say that to the end, because, you know, it's spring training. No one really wants to get into spring training depth, into stats or whatever. So, let's just start with the war. Let's start with the Sharks, actually. Let's start with the Sharks. Let's start on a bad note. So, the Sharks Friday played against Chicago. They're looking, the Blackhawks were, obviously everyone know if they're watching the NHL, the Blackhawks were looking to set off a new NHL record, going 17 games straight with a point. They were currently at 16, tied with the Anaheim Ducks, who actually that year the Anaheim Ducks won the Stanley Cup. It was announced that Hossa would be playing, even though with his back of the head hit, he will be playing, and so you have him on Blackhawks. It was Niemi versus Emery in goal, just like last Friday when they faced, but totally different score. Totally different score. First period, there was no penalties, and the game was like, there was a lot of shots on goal, but no penalties, and sooner or later, with 15 seconds left in the game, Patrick Marleau scored his 11th goal, making it 1-0, thanks to a good break on the offense from Joe Pavelski and Brett Burns. And then shots and goal were there, were like 11-8. San Jose was losing in shots and goal. But it was 1-0, though. Sharks were winning. And, you know, from that point, the Sharks had the momentum, thinking that the Sharks could beat this team and you know, be known as a team that ended their streak, you know. That's a good way to think about it. Well, second period, totally different things. With two penalties for San Jose, two penalties for Chicago in that period. And with 4 minutes and 20 seconds left, Starberg scored his 4th goal of the season, making it 1-1, Blackhawks tie. And I was watching the game, and it was a bad bounce and a bad goal for, not a bad bounce, but a bad goal for Niemi to let in. You know, it was pathetic. It was more pathetic than the one goal that I believe hit right through Niemi's legs, but everyone thought it hit Douglas Murray's skate. I forget what game that was. But it was worse than that. And, you know, you're sitting there and you know, like, hey, no, we scored the first goal. We could score the second one. You know, we could make this a 2-1 game, and, you know, the Warriors might have a chance. Chicago was beat San Jose and shoots on goal again, make it 10-6 on shots on goal in that second period. And in the third period, Chicago had more penalties than San Jose, making it 3-2. But with 18 minutes into the game, was it 18 minutes? Or was it 2 minutes? I think it was 18 minutes, yeah. Sean scored for Chicago, really good rookie. Scored for Chicago and making it a 2-1 game and leaving all hope for San Jose to go down and burn into flames. So, from that, Chicago won their 17th game straight with the point, making it a new NHL record. They are now claimed to be the team to win the Stanley Cup. A shot on goal with 34-27. Chicago won that. And, you know, my point of it, my view on everyone thinking Chicago is going to win the Stanley Cup is here's how it happened. Yeah, they're the best team in the NHL right now. But we've known from the past that the number one team hardly ever wins the Stanley Cup, unless you're the Detroit Red Wings or the Pittsburgh Penguins. Who would I use as a good example? The Sharks, for a good example, they won the President's Trophy of all things and ended up losing in the first round to the Anaheim Ducks that year. We also have, let's go from last year. You didn't even see the Vancouver Canucks in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. You know, the team that actually won the Stanley Cup was ranked 8th in the Western Conference. So, yeah, the Blackhawks could be the best team right now, but will they be the best team in the playoffs and keep the streak going and be as hot as they are right now? Will they keep this up? No one knows. On paper, yes, they're the best team in the NHL. But, you know, that's on paper. So, I mean, a lot of things are on paper. Last year, on paper, the Florida Marlins were projected to win the World Series. That was on paper. totally different outcome. But, yeah, that was the first game for Sharks. Going on to the second game that happened last night with Dallas Stars. An all-right game. It was basically the same thing like against the Chicago Blackhawks, personally. I get a drink. So last night they played Dallas. Chloe was suspended for an altercation against Shaw in Chicago. And, you know, it was basically he came off the bench to start a fight. And, you know, automatically from there, that's NHL rules that you could get a 10-game suspension from that. So him being suspended right now for that game is already telling us that he might get suspended for 10 more games. But would this be good? I think it's a good thing because now Cole can get his head together, you know, and try to have some positive outlook to his, have this positive outcome to this team, you know, be a key contributor. You know, we haven't seen Chloe in a long time. He's been invisible on this team. So, Niemi was in net, even though it was a back-to-back game. That was pretty shocking. I thought Grice would have played play last night. But they put Niemi because they're trying to end this road streak. This road games on a good streak. So, first period, Sharks with, why did I put Dallas had 3 penalties and Sharks had no penalties? I am freaking retarded. Alright, so Sharks had actually 3 penalties. Dallas had no penalties with a tripping delay call and another tripping. The Sharks, the highlight of this whole game, if I could just mention this, the highlight of the whole game was the Sharks had a kill of 5-on-3 early in the first period, and they did it. They killed it right on top, and it was, you know, it was great. I loved seeing that. It gave the Sharks a big boost of confidence and saying, you know, we could do this. We could win this game for once, and, you know, let's go back home with a winning streak on our hands, you know? So the penalties were 3-0 San Jose. Shots on goal was 13 and I think 6 for San Jose. I did not fill in that category. And the score was 0-0. Second period, Dallas had more penalties of 3-2, and the score was exactly with 57 seconds left. Jager, God, I'm speaking every time I butcher his damn name. The really old guy on the freaking Stars. How about we just call him that? The really old guy. The freaking guy that everyone knows. He played for the Penguins, and you know what? It's him. It's him I'm talking about. He scored his fifth goal of the season, making it 1-0 with 37 seconds left. And it was a good play. You can't go against that. Good setup and everything. So making that game 1-0 in the second period. And then, sure enough, 30 seconds into the game, with a power play going on, Ryder scored again. Still scored his, I think his fourth goal, probably. I'm just throwing numbers out there now. I did not even write how many numbers he had. I just put that out there. I'm like, yeah, that was his fifth goal. And I go online, or you guys go online, you're like, bullshit, it was his eighth. You know, so I don't know how many goals he's had the whole season, but I do know it was 2-0, and that is a big stepping point for the Stars for winning this game and getting a big lead against the San Jose Sharks, because you don't know what they'll be able to do. And sure enough, after two penalties from Dallas, the Patrick Kamara scores a tremendous face-off goal thanks to George Thornton, making his 12th goal of power play and making it 2-1. So that was a good time. That was actually surprising to see the power play unit step up for once and score. You know, we haven't seen that in a long time, and they did it there. But then, sure enough, of 3 minutes and 10 seconds left, Ben scored and making it a 3-1 game and putting the record in the books, having the Sharks lose once again, even though they won in St. Louis. So. You know, they end this road trip. That's what I was looking for, is road trip, not road streak. They end this road trip, and they won the 4-1 record. And that's not really a good record, but you know, it could be better. But I hate long road trips like this, because then it just drains the team, and then you know, you go on 1-4-1 record, and you only get 3 points out of 12 that you could have gotten, and you know, you're falling down in the standings and in the Western Conference, and it's just upsetting. So, and that's actually, the Sharks actually gave they gave Neil Stripp's first NHL win for the Dallas Stars. So not only do we give up first NHL goals, we give up first NHL wins. And the next game will be at HP Pavilion. Finally, we're back home against the Colorado Avalanche, and that'll be Tuesday at 7:30. If you're going to that game, go to that game, show your support, and just hopefully this team can fucking win a game. Well, I'm pretty sure they'll do better at home, you know. But then again, they went on that 7-game losing streak, and two of the games actually probably was at home. So I can't really say anything, but hopefully they have a better mentality. Everyone steps up and says, you know what, I'm not taking this shit anymore. We either win or it can be done for me. So, other than that, let's get into the brighter side of news, which would be the Warriors. I was finally right for one of my predictions. Just one. That's all I needed, was just one to prove my point. All I needed was one right prediction, and it ended up being the Warriors. It was a really good game, I'll be honest. It was a really good game to watch if you're a Warrior fan. If you're not even a Warrior fan, I've seen some non-Warrior fans watching the game and saying this is a really good game, because the Spurs are going in there with like a good winning streak going on in their hands, and this is a team that almost lost to the Kings, I admit that. But, you know, with how much outlook was on them, and they have the best record in the NBA, if the Warriors could beat them, they could show the NBA that they sort of belong in the playoffs, and this is a good way to show it. The Warriors, obviously, it's been all over the news that they're debuting the new sleeve jerseys, which were pretty cool. I remember I put my outlook on it in the last episode, and I said, you know, it's gonna start something, and I won't be shocked if the Warriors keep it, even though all this bad outlook on it, saying, how could you have a short sleeve, blah, 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 you know, so. The Warriors only dominated for three of the quarters, including overtime. Yes, this game is overtime. three of the 5 quarters. 25-25 tie in the first. 14-13 San Antonio. All right, no. They only dominated for two. My bad. The Warriors only dominated for two periods of the... I am off the charts today with mistakes. This is probably because I did not drink my Red Bull. I drink a bloody Hawaiian Punch. You know what sucks? I have freaking Monsters in the refrigerator I could have drank. Okay. Alright, so... The Warriors dominated for two quarters of the game, but still... They dominated more than the San Antonio Spurs, as you'll see why. 29-29 tie in third quarter, 26-25 Warriors, and then 14-8 in the overtime. So, let's get right into it. There was no Bogut announced in the beginning of the game. He wouldn't be starting, so they put Adrian Beater to be the center, along with David Lee, Harrison Barnes, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson. They're looking to see if Klay Thompson can keep on producing like he did against the Phoenix Suns last game with 28 points. You know, how about the team in general produced it, you know, too, like how they did against the Phoenix Suns. Like, I predicted if the key players come out and play, then the Warriors have no chance of beating the Spurs. You know, it's, they can do it. But for a very low-scoring first half on both teams, and it was sort of shocking because you were sitting there, and this is a team, these are two teams that average 100 points per game, and the score is like, what, 39-38 in the first half, and you're just sitting there like, well, any time now they can score. And it wasn't just because of that, but also too good defense coming from the Warriors along with San Antonio Spurs. But I won't talk about the San Antonio Spurs because they lost. But the Warriors, though, the Warriors had good defense. I would admit, Harrison Barnes, even though I had one for eight the game, he did have great defense going against, I forget who he was matched up against, but he had great defense, and including the fourth quarter and overtime, so... Let's see, what else do I have here? Going into the game, the Warriors have lost 16 straight to the San Antonio Spurs. I mentioned this because, obviously, this streak ended. They beat them for the first time since 2008. That was a big shock for me. So, that was a good stat. That was a good stat. Let's just talk about Jared Jack for a second. He was superior the whole game. He had 30 points with 10 assists. Here's a fun fact. He is the first NBA player since Magic Johnson to come off the bench and score 30 points and have 10 assists. And that was 1996, I believe. Is that 1996? It was 1996, yes. Right. Magic Johnson, and you know, you have a stat compared with Magic Johnson. That's already honored. I'd be honored right there. But then you have that, and... You know, Jared Jack could keep doing this, coming off the bench and doing this, then the Warriors have to look at, are you going to sign him or Carl Landry or what after this season? I think Jared Jack should be signed again, because with Stephen Curry being injured almost all the time, you put Jared Jack in a starting position, he's basically Curry. So, also, too, another good player that no one was really talking about since Jared Jack. David Lee went 25 points, but with a career high in rebounds with 22. That was pretty good. I haven't seen 22 rebounds in a long time from, or 20 rebounds from David Lee. And, yeah, no, that was a good stat. I don't know why people were talking about him, but then Jared Jack went 30 for 10 off the bench. So, There was a funny, you know, and, you know, the Warriors won in overtime, thanks to Jared Jack with a key clutch three at the end of the fourth quarter, but then Ginobili came in and laid it up, tied the game, but then also to Jared Jack came in and basically it was clutch again in the fourth quarter, so we can't really say anything about that, but there was a funny thing going on Twitter that everyone was everyone was all saying we believe, and everything said we believe, we be believe, and it was a funny trend. I was laughing my ass off. It was probably the best thing I've ever seen in a long time. So we believe, guys. Every time they have the sleeves on, we believe. The next game will be against Minnesota, which is today, which we'll get into right now. The Warriors go against the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Tonight. I'm about to do it again. Where last time I said, the Sharks will play tonight against the blah, 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 blah. And then I looked up. I'm like, oh, crap. They're playing at 3 o'clock. I'm like, that's not really a tonight game. So, just to make it simple, Warriors are playing tonight. Today, guys! They're playing today against the Minnesota Timberwolves at 12:30. Warriors are looking to go start the road trip off of a pretty good start. Minnesota isn't really that great of a team, especially with Kevin Love out. And all you have is Petrovic and Ricky Rubio. Why did I say more? Mother of God. Okay, I'm going to end this show freaking fast. I'm going to just make it simple. I am off the chart today. But, the Minnesota team isn't really that great without Kevin Love. Let's be honest. They lost the last game the Timberwolves played. They lost against OKC by a lot of points. But then, again, I think there's a good chance that the Warriors could beat this team for multiple reasons. Not the fact that they just beat the best team in the NBA. You know what? Yeah. Just because they beat the best team in the NBA, I will say that they will beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. I put out there that the Warriors beat the Timberwolves by double digit points. So the Warriors start to gain a 3-game winning streak instead of a losing streak, and they're gonna get back into this and just be the Warriors that we all remember. So my prediction is the Golden State Warriors beat the Minnesota Timberwolves without Kevin Love by double-digit points. So, we have to get into the Giants and the A's. So I already mentioned a score, really. The A's lost 2-1 to the Brewers. Bond hit his first home run, his first at-bat, which was really shocking. I mean, everyone made a big deal. Like, oh, my God, Ryan Braun hit his first home run at his first at-bat. Against the guy, I mean, come on, guys, let's be fucking honest. He faced a guy who's going to be in AAA. He's going to be picking bagging groceries at Safeway. J.C. Chavez is not really a pitcher. Okay, if you face Brett Anderson or Jared Parker or Tommy Malone, there's no way he's hitting that home run on his first at-bat. And I'm pretty sure the PEDs are still in him. So, I mean, everyone made a big deal about it. I'm like, just shut the hell up. It's like Jason Bay hitting his first home run as a Mariner. His first at bat is against a guy who's gonna be bagging groceries. So if for the first home run and the first at bat in the freaking regular season, they didn't come talk to me. But for now, it was nothing. So they lost 2-1. I think Patterson and Michael Troy, who came off the bench, really did good offensively. I liked what I saw, what I heard, honestly, from them. And then Chris Young. Chris Young was doing pretty good. Nakajima had a good start defensively, communicating well with Jamal Weeks and Grant Green for double plays. And, yeah, I mean, today they play against the Los Angeles Angels. You can catch it on 1 o'clock on MLB.com. I've been able to talk about MLB Network, but it will be delayed. But if you're like me, I'm going to try to see if I can listen to it or watch it while it's going live on my MLB.com account. Along with that, so let's go with the Giants. The Giants won 4-1. I heard Paulo Sandoval had a good game. Spring training is great, and I love spring training, but then people are like, show me the stats! Show me the stats! Like, it's fucking spring training. It's like me saying, hey, let's have an hour-long segment about the Raiders versus the Seattle Seahawks preseason opener Wind State lost 51-14. It's like, why the fuck do I want to talk about preseason? Preseason? Why are we talking about preseason? But to be honest, I love watching spring training. It's a great feeling. I love watching all the games. I'm watching the Phillies, and I'm watching the Blue Jays right now. Well, I was actually watching the Blue Jays right now. The Phillies aren't playing today. I watched the Phillies last yesterday morning. But I'm watching the Blue Jays play right now. And I'm waiting for the A's to play. And, you know, I love spring training. I love the fact that we get to actually have some baseball games on TV. I'm glad. But is it until I have a starting lineup in there where, like, Buster Posey and, like, you have your projected starting lineup in there and you have a bullshit pitcher in there. But if you have a starting lineup in there, I might talk about it a little bit because, you know, that's something people want to focus on is how will this team be in a season? And, like, well, we have a season preview right here with Buster Posey and Pablo Sandoval and Brandon Belt, you know, and everything. Everyone's all together. But no one wants to talk about it. It's like, well, tell me all the stats that Jesse Chavez had in the first 2-3 innings. I'm like, well, who the fuck cares? Who the fuck really cares? I mean, no one gives a shit if Jesse Chavez about stats. So until next week, Brent Anderson will be pitching. So what am I talking about that? But for now, I have nothing for MLB spring training, just for the fact that it was, no one wants to talk about spring training. No one wants to hear me talk about spring training. So I'll pull up the Giants at first. I'll pull it up for you guys, just to be even, because I talk about the A's and like, oh, A's is this, and A's is this, and then Giants, I had a total freak out. Let's see, Giants. Play tonight. Today against the Cubs. No, they played the Cubs today. What do you know? The boys know. Let's see. You couldn't work any time. Okay, here we go. It is up and it is running. Here we go. So Andrew Vaughn had 2 at bats going He had 1 hit with 1-1, so he had a 500 average. It's not bad. The Giants have scored until the 4th inning with 2 runs. I believe we can thank that for Pablo Sandoval hitting a single over a line drive to right field, scoring Andrew Vaughn. And also Jackson Williams hit a double, scoring Pablo Sandoval from first, which was pretty funny, I heard. I remember that. But the Angels, let's be honest, Angels scored first in the top 4 with John Hester grounded out in third. But Pill was playing first base, just in case you didn't know. And it is kept going on from there, from Wilson Valdez grounds out to third, scoring Gabe Brown. Gabe Brown played! Hey! That's one of my predictions for the 2013 season. Gabe Brown! Hey! So he played. Alright, I'm happy. Let's see, who else do we have here? What was Gabe Brown's stats? I want to know what Gabe Brown's stats were. Come on. When did Gabe Brown even play? I didn't even see him on the thing. Okay, Gabe Brown was center field. Oh, he started! Yay! Well, I'm looking like a freaking, like I look like I know what I'm talking about, because he's playing! Gabe Brown played center field. Had 2 at-bats, went 1-for-2 with a 500 average, scoring 1-1. He only striked out once. But yay! Play! So, we're ending the show like that. We'll probably just end it like that. Yeah, we're just going to end it like that. So, so next time, I'll probably bring up the show maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. Probably most likely Wednesday, most likely Tuesday, most likely Monday. Whenever you guys are good or lucky. So, till next time, my name is Cody Rodriguez. Thank you for enjoying the podcast. And make sure you guys keep on spreading the word, supporting me and everything. It means a lot. I had a couple of people spread the word. It helped a lot. Standings-wise and views-wise on my show. So, thank you guys so much. Just keep this up. And, yeah, see you next time.